Welcome to Strength for Today's Pastor, conversations with current senior pastors and leaders which will strengthen and help you in your pastoral ministry. And now, here's your host, Bill Holdridge of Poimen Ministries.
Welcome to podcast episode 144 of Strength for Today's Pastor. Today, I'm with Jeff Birmingham. Jeff is the senior pastor of River Rocks Church in Dawsonville, Georgia. River Rocks Church is a healthy church. Pastor Jeff has a testimony that I wish more pastors had. This season of ministry that he is in, he describes as an enjoyable season of ministry for him and for his wife, Jessica. And there are reasons for it. So that's what we're going to talk about with Jeff today. What are the reasons for this enjoyable season of ministry that is being experienced there at River Rocks Church in Georgia? Jeff, welcome to the program. Thanks for joining us.
You bet, Bill. Appreciate you having me on again.
Yeah, this is great. It's a good follow-up from our recent podcast episode. So you started in with the planting of River Rocks Church in 2012. You are a bivocational pastor and have been from the beginning. And from what you told me in a recent conversation, that's probably going to be the way it's going to continue moving forward. If you would, just give us a snapshot of what that's been like for you up to the present day.
Yeah, you bet. So, you know, I was called, I started a business about 2 years ago before we went out and actually planted a church. That was the start of me getting a call to plant a church, actually, was when we went to plant. And after we left, we moved up to Cumming, Georgia from Melbourne, Florida. And, you know, parachuted in, didn't know a single person up in this region at all. Started in our living room with just a handful of people. You know, those first 6 months or so, it felt more like a cult with a bunch of single women meeting in my home on a Friday night. The Lord did add some men, praise God. To that. And, you know, you have your typical trajectory. You know, the first year is kind of this venture of faith, this excitement. You see some fruit of the ministry. You see a handful of baptisms, a few people saved, discipleship starting, and it's exciting. And then as you continue to progress, you start to see people who aren't necessarily as excited as they once were to be a part of something new. We also get to see, you know, we get exhausted and tired as we're giving every bit of our energy and effort to ministry all the while working. You start to hit ministry hurts. You start to find that your leadership skills for leading 20, 30 people aren't working when you start to hit 70, 80, 90, 100 people. And we had gotten to a place in ministry where I had actually, we didn't know what was next for us. We were exhausted. We were worn out. We knew that there had to be a better way, but we had no way to figure out what that better way was. And that's when we found your podcast, actually. Bill, as I was at a place of desperation, wanting to know how can I do this better? And if I can't, there's no way I can do another handful of years. There's no way I would finish this thing till the very end of the, you know, the time that he'd have me there. It was just too much on my family. And so we heard your podcast, and there was a handful of different people that came on to share about biblical coaching, leadership, and what does that look like organizationally. Also, the development of leaders, which was always a difficult thing. And I knew there had to be a better way. So we had been at such a place of desperation that, you know what, we can try this differently for a year. And it was good for us because we knew that we were basically getting from Sunday to Sunday. And I was given some advice early on by an older pastor who said, you know what, Jeff, just quite a bit of the time, you just got to get to the next Sunday. And so I held on to that Sunday to Sunday, exhausted, tired, and worn out. And I knew that I couldn't do that anymore. And so that's where we had to find a better way. And I'm just thankful that we found a better way. And it's been by the resources we've learned from you guys at Poimen Ministries. It's been some other things that we've taken and started to run with as vision was developed. And now I can absolutely say that this has been an absolute season the last couple of years of really enjoying ministry. And so now, instead of going from day to day, we started to look for the next year. And then we went to about 2 years. And now it's pretty cool to look off into the horizon. And I think that there's no sense of a timeline anymore of how long can I survive. Just looking forward to finishing well.
I love it. I love it for so many reasons. But Jesus, you know, the chief shepherd, he said his yoke is easy, his burden is light. But a lot of times the way we do ministry, his yoke is difficult and his burden is heavy. Or at least that's what we're perceiving, and it's not. It really isn't. So I'm glad for that. And I'm also encouraged by what you shared concerning what it's like to be with 20 to 30 people, and then the leadership style and approach needs to change when there's 70 people. And then beyond that, a lot of times we're not preparing for the different style of leadership that needs to happen as a church grows. Usually it catches the church planter off guard, and you're now ahead of that curve, but because of the Lord's helping you and because of your hunger to learn and grow. So it was just about 2 or 3 years ago you said you were about to throw in the towel because of the wear and tear of ministry and how it was getting to you and even possibly affecting your family. So you've talked about some of the things that led you to that place, but maybe you could break it down a little more specifically for us.
Yeah, you bet. I mean, we were in a temporary facility. You know, we had set up, tear down. So there was a bit of just exhaustion in that regard. The biggest part was leadership. You know, you kind of always hope that maybe God will bring in an old retired pastor that can give you a break and start to fill in some of the weak gaps that you have, or maybe you can bring someone else in. And you know, we ended up hiring a handful of people that have been in ministry or had a heart for it. The problem was, and I learned this after some hard hits, honestly, is that when you hire someone, you typically become their boss before you become their pastor. Mm. And as a result, those relationships are very difficult because you lose the capacity for them to learn your heart before they're under your leadership. And that is kind of a recipe for disaster in a lot of cases. So leadership was always a challenge. You feel like, you know what, you and your wife are kind of doing this thing together. You know, she's my de facto co-pastor, so to speak, and that's not her role at all. So she was exhausted and discouraged. You know, different things would come along that, you know, your normal church hurts that in the middle of them are devastating to you and your home, family, and other people that are involved on the opposite side. And so that was, you know, that was a good solid 5 to 6 years of getting to a place where we just realized we were broken. We were lost. I wasn't the leader I thought I was. I could lead a small group. When it started to become something bigger than that, I knew I had to do more. I didn't have an example to show me. I looked around and I felt like I didn't have people around me. I learned later that was a lie, but yeah, that's what it felt like. Mm-hmm. You feel very isolated, you feel alone, and you know, you're just hopeful that God might open those doors, and He opened them in a way that required me to change a whole lot.
Mm-hmm. Change a whole lot. You know, as a church grows numerically, a lot of times you use the word de facto. Our de facto approach is to hire staff to take stuff off our plate. So that person that we hire to take stuff off our plate, eventually his plate or her plate is too full. So they have to hire another person to take stuff off of that person's plate, and on, and pretty soon you've got a huge staff. And then in that model, the staff is doing the work of the ministry, and the people, their job is to show up, pay their tithe, nominally participate in the church's programs by attending and by helping them run, and that's it. People haven't been developed. People haven't really... But you took the leap. You said we can't put band-aids on this thing. We've got to tear the wound right off and start from scratch and do it differently. And that's why I think this is so awesome. What what you're sharing, Jeff, because that's the place you came to and that's been what's happening.
Amen. Amen. You know, and the leadership piece is definitely the hardest part to change. You know, you get very comfortable in your style and you think that it's going to be okay and it's going to work out as you get bigger. And then you realize that I feel like it, many times the pastor's a funnel, and that funnel, in order for the church to grow, whether that's in spiritual maturity or even numerically, the tip of the funnel has to grow. And the Lord has placed us there. And there are ways that that funnel can grow, but it does require realizing that the old way is broken and that you have an opportunity to learn a new and a better style for the next season of ministry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you had said that you knew that your leadership style was broken, and that's a tough admission to make, but it's okay to make that admission. That's what I'm hearing from you, and it's okay to reach out for help. And you know, I just know that the things that you've already shared in this podcast episode are resonating with guys that are listening to this, because we've all been there. Everybody's been there. Anybody who's planted a church or even assumed the leadership of an existing church has been there at one point or another. So you connected with Terry McNabb from Poyman Ministries, who is really good at pastoral coaching, especially in leadership areas. It'd be great if you could re-describe that time. You shared this in previous podcasts, but maybe re-describe that for us so guys can get a hint as to what we're talking about here.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I recommend coaching for any pastor, period. I don't even think you have to be struggling to be coached, because we have ways that we need to learn, and you need someone to see some of the struggles or communication issues that you might have in a different way. But when I met with Terry the first time, what was a blessing is that, you know, he heard my story and let me complain and whine and cry. And then he just looked, you know, he just said, you know what, Jeff, everything that you're saying is normal. Right. And it's a normal experience that we go through, everything that I've just shared. It's not like I was unique or different. My scenarios had similar, you know, tastes and difficulties and trials as someone else. And that word normal allowed me to immediately recognize that I was in this with a whole lot of other people, even though you didn't feel like you necessarily were, that I wasn't so out of bounds. I wasn't the only one struggling. And that became a constant statement throughout every bit of our conversation. But just because something is normal, like ministry is normal, hard things in ministry, those are normal. People conflicts, those are normal. But it doesn't have to be that you're always struggling. Right? That doesn't have to be normal anymore, but I had to learn a better way. And so the process that is worked through coaching, which Terry walked me through and has many other pastors, and I now actually am walking through a young man in Costa Rica through the coaching, is that you start by developing a vision, understanding a vision that is very much you and in context with what he wants to do in your community. And then you start to work on what is the mission, the things that you do, and the things that you do well. I learned that I had to fire my wife, right? She wasn't allowed to be the person that everybody went to have access to. You know, and she didn't have to carry the burden that the pastor was meant to carry, even though she was taking that on unintentionally. I had to have a lot of conversations with people. And so you look at everything that you're doing, make sure it aligns with the vision, and then you start to develop a team. Right? That leadership team was a lifesaver. And how you run a leadership team and how you run the practical things in the ministry change everything. Communication is increased. The right hand knows what the left hand is doing all the time. The men's ministry leader knows why we changed the kids' check-in station. Who cares that they know that? Well, everybody's asking questions all the time. And if we have a group of people rather than my wife and me, and my wife doesn't know everything, and I oftentimes don't seem to know everything, we have a group that now all knows everything. So that communication slid all the way through. And so that's where the coaching really helps, is organizationally, how do you lead a church well? And that's something that can scale pretty deep into the growth of a church.
So there were so many things, yeah, that you learned, and so that was it, really, just the developing a leadership team and the communication level issues and just doing it a different way. What were the biggest challenges to your process of learning this? I mean, what were the things that were the hardest for you to adjust in your own thinking? I can think that, and for me, it would be trusting someone enough to let them have not only responsibility, but some level of authority. But I don't know, what are some of the challenges that come to your mind that you've experienced along the way?
Yeah, you know what I've seen? I think I was so ready for something to change that I was willing to do anything necessary. And I believe that our team that I had created, the leadership team, was so ready for organization, so ready for me to no longer be a, you know, let's trust the Lord and we'll figure out what we do next month when it's next month. There's already a preparation in a lot of people's hearts. I think the hardest part for me was and continues to be is the constant communication that has to take place. I think that's, you know, trusting folks, it's always difficult just because it's just a natural difficulty. But the communication thing, I think, is where a lot of times we fall short. And I know that I have to make it a priority to consider the things that I communicate. How do I communicate them so everybody understands them and I'm not, there's not an implication in my meaning or anything like that. And that was something that I probably had to grow in the most and was the hardest to pick up. I just assumed people understood me. And I was saying one thing, they were hearing another. And I had to really rewire my brain to think how people think when they hear what I say rather than what I expect them to think. So that was probably one of the most difficult things for me, was modifying my communication.
Yeah, thanks for sharing that. That makes sense. So you said it earlier that the initial years of your ministry where you were working with the people that were working with you more as their boss, but you needed to have a relational base. You learned that you needed to have a relational base so that there was that mutuality of trust. So you told me that you discovered something from one of the podcasts and you put that in place, and that became a relational discipleship environment called SALT. Maybe you could explain that a little bit and talk about what that is.
Absolutely. So, I mean, along with the leadership changes and transformation that had to happen to effectively lead the church well, I knew I had to develop leaders because God was not dropping them in, and I was missing some portion of the model. We had a one-to-one discipleship, which was great, but I knew there had to be more growth in my men, and I believe that men need to be challenged and pushed. And so I listened to a podcast that Brian Ewing did fairly early on in your list of podcasts about a program he had created called SALT, Servant and Leadership Training. And it's a year-long course that will take any man through. And there's, you know, really no expectation when they go into it except for they're going to follow the program. What I've found is that men typically, when they're, you know, going to school, they're playing sports, they can be incredibly disciplined if they have a goal. Then they hit real life and there's no longer need for discipline. And so therefore, spiritual disciplines fall by the wayside, their family falls by the wayside, their health falls by the wayside, and they need to start to become leaders again. And so SALT means Servant and Leadership Training, is what it stands for. And what we did is we created it for a year because it wouldn't be easy. And you would have to continue to be faithfully consistent to key disciplines throughout the year. The vision, as I learned from the leadership training, I have to have a vision for everything that I do. It's to develop godly leaders that lead their home, they're in their workplace, and in the church. And so that was the godly discipline leaders. So that was the goal, develop godly discipline leaders. And we created a handful of disciplines. Obviously, you need them spending time in their quiet time. So every day they spend time in their quiet time, they post to a group. We're all held accountable. We're also going to read about 14 books this year. And they read a chapter a day of a book. And this ranges from spiritual living type books to biographies to a few doctrinal things. And so they're reading this every day. They also have to work out 5 times a week. We start it with a short retreat, and we end it with a big hike. So physically, they have a target that they're going to hit. And we meet every 2 weeks. And we go over just kind of a level of curriculum, not super organized in terms of the curriculum. I know the topic, but my hope is that they get to hear my heart through those meetings, and I get to learn about their heart, and we get to see changes and celebrate transformations in their life. And this has been an absolute game changer for our church, because it creates leaders. Marriage counseling goes down, because husbands are leading and wives are secure. Family problems and kids issues, they start to go down because husbands are doing their job. And so this had and has had an incredible effect over the last few years within River Rocks Church. I cannot express the necessity to develop leaders within the church.
You know, as you're thinking, I'm thinking about the College World Series that I just finished watching last night, right? And you got these group of guys that are extremely talented. They have tremendous potential, but they're going to have to learn how to come together as a team. So what I'm hearing you say in this SALT thing, you guys are coming together twice a month, every 2 weeks or whatever, and they know now that they're going into their homes that there are other guys that are in the same place needing to do the same thing, trusting the Lord for the same strength to lead the same way. And so you're not by yourself. And that's one of the, don't you think that's one of the things that inhibits our growth as leaders, is that we feel like we're just doing a solo gig here and we're on our own? But you've created a situation where they're not on their own. There's a community of men that are learning the same things. They're on the same page.
Yeah, amen. Well, you know, when Terry told me it's normal for us to feel certain ways, but we don't have to be that way anymore. And for men to develop disciplines, it changes everything in their home, and there it's been the starting point for the other things which the Lord has continued to develop within our church.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad that you're talking about Terry's style. I kid him a lot because he's like doing Jedi mind tricks on people, you know, when he makes these statements, but are so true, and it just makes the person who's hearing it believe it. These things are normal. This is what we're going to be doing. This is the plan, you know, and you just kind of embrace it. That's great. So from the SALT training, and again, you referenced Brian Ewing. He's the founding pastor. Well, not the founding pastor. He took over for his brother Mick in Juneau, Alaska. And he started all that as a result of his own crisis. And that's in a previous podcast episode we did with Brian. But a tremendous thing. So you developed SALT. That's been going for a while now. And is this your second or third season of SALT? I've lost track.
Yeah, so this is our third season. You know, our first season, we had 12 guys. Our second, we had about 16. And now we're in our third season. We're over 20 now. It looks like we're going to probably start our fourth season 6 months in. And I've got co-leaders that are going to be able to help guide that. And there are probably 10 to 14 guys that are ready to sign up in August right now, because they've seen the transformation happening in these guys' lives.
So there is absolutely no reason to stop SALT. I mean, no, just keep it going. As long as you got men with a pulse, let's do this. Let's keep this going.
Yeah. Amen. Absolutely.
So from there, you decided to go deeper with a certain group of men who felt so called and so inclined, and you started a school of ministry. So let's hear about that.
Yeah, so we saw that through SALT, different people had a call on their life towards ministry or wanted to vet out the call, right? And that's kind of my hope is that we can, develop and grow men in their ministerial calling of God upon their lives. They need to understand it. Am I really called to this? And so we created a program that modeled what I did in Calvary Chapel, Melbourne, at some level, but did have a little bit different emphasis when it comes to how we spend our meeting time. So I broke it up into four semesters, which gives guys an opportunity to jump in a little bit more regularly. And we've got, you know, one of those semesters is just, you know, the inductive Bible study training that Dan Finfrock does, great material. Grossman, and we have them teach every single weekend, the six or seven guys in this class. They got 5 minutes, and we encourage them along, and we grade them, and we kind of, you know, critique so that they get better at their communication and study of God's word. We did biblical counseling for an entire semester. We used the self-confrontation book, which was a mountain of work for a lot of folks. We had 20 folks that signed up to do that class. We actually opened it up to the church, and that was pretty powerful. We'll have a semester on pastoral leadership, you know, basic practical topics of leading. And then we'll have kind of a deep dive into hermeneutics, theology, apologetics as another semester. And they've got to do all kinds of other stuff too, along with these classes. You're going to listen to some of the Chuck tapes. You're going to go on a mission trip. They've got to lead things in the church. You know, so there's other things that make this school of ministry practical to them. And it's, you know, my expectation is that we'll end up having missionaries sent out from River Rocks Church, that we'll start planting churches, that we should have pastors coming out of River Rocks Church, which to me sounds kind of biblical.
Amen. Well, you gave your vision statement in our recent conversation for the School of Ministry to help men develop and grow in the ministerial calling of God upon their lives. So, you know, because that was your goal and your vision, like you keep talking about, Terry, you know, emphasizing vision, you grasp the vision of emphasizing vision and whatever. So you create a vision statement. So you created the curriculum around your vision statement.
Yeah, that's, you have to. So that's what I noticed in terms of everything that we do now within the church, is that we need to start with a vision statement, right? And it needs to align with the church's vision as a whole. And then you develop a plan, right? I'm the kind of guy who really prefers to shoot from the hip. I can be more creative. I like flexibility. I don't like to be blocked into things. Like, let's just kind of go with this, the move of the spirit at the moment, and let's see how it goes. It's kind of the idea. The problem is that people need to know where they're going, right? They need to know what the plan is. And, you know, one of the examples that Terry would use is that if you take a kid on a trip and you say, hey, let's get in the car and start driving. And what's going to happen after 30 minutes? You know, where are we going? Are we there yet? What's happening? Well, we're going on a trip. It's going to be a blast. Like, just be a part of the enjoy the ride. Well, if they knew that they were going to Florida to go hang out at the beach, and that we're going to stop, you know, halfway and, you know, at a Buc-ee's, which a lot of people know, like, you're going to stop there, we're going to get something, we're going to stay the night at this hotel. Now they know where the destination is, how we're going to get there, and how they're going to be a part of it. And without a vision of where we're going, nobody knows how they're going to be a part of it and how to get there. And then I get a plan on how I'm going to work it. And so when there's a detour or something starts to change, I know that I just got to stick to the plan, and eventually that vision is going to be brought forth. And so that provides a tremendous amount of freedom for me.
At this point, I'm going to introduce a bit of a spoiler alert, Jeff, and I'm going to say that to all the guys that are listening to this, all the leaders that are listening to this podcast episode right now, there's going to be a follow-up Zoom call with Pastor Jeff, and you're going to have an opportunity to ask him questions about some of the nuts and bolts of putting this together. It'll be an hour long. It's going to be on July 10th. I'll give you the information again at the end of the podcast, but you know, you've got help. You've got encouragement. There's sources available to get something like this started yourself in your own fellowship. So wanted to let that be known as a spoiler alert. Well, you talked about important learning tools for the future that are on your plate, things that are in the future. So maybe you could comment on that a little bit, because you're still working this thing. I mean, you know, this is great. Now you've got the fourth season of SALT going to be starting in a few months, and others are going to be leading it. I mean, this is great organic growth. So what do you see coming up in the future?
Yeah. So, you know, as I look into the future, one, I don't have a timeline that I feel like I've got to survive till, right? I'm excited about it. And what we're going to see in the future at River Rocks Church is we will see churches planted. We will see pastors come out. We will see more trust built within the congregation so we can accomplish a whole lot more for the kingdom of God. But I also believe that, you know, as the Lord has given us a great sense of hope and kind of me freedom from, you know, a lot of the difficulties I was dealing with, is I think we have to have more opportunities for guys to learn, right? There has to be more opportunities to be trained in organizational leadership. My intention is to have a leadership conference next year where we'll be able to have, you know, Terry come and he's going to teach the nuts and bolts, and I'll share the practice of what does it look like. And then, you know, we did that actually last year, and it was a great opportunity for guys to grow. And then continuing on with how can we encourage more pastors? I think this is an epidemic within the church. You know, Calvary chapels are notorious for this, of guys just kind of having to almost feel like they're lone rangers. And, you know, Poimen provides an incredible set of resources to help encourage and strengthen pastors. And there needs to be more of it. But what it takes is, honestly, it takes a man who's desperate to learn and to change. And when you have that, you have the recipe for incredible hope as it relates to being a pastor. Mm-hmm. And so I really am excited for the future as guys embrace more just training on how to do this thing practically. And in so doing, I enjoy teaching again. I'm not just looking to get to Sunday. Mm-hmm. That's not the highlight of the whole thing. I get to now enjoy Sunday. Mm-hmm. And it just all flows from there. So I'm excited about it. And there's a bunch of tools and things which I can always encourage people to learn, listen to, and even, you know, from a coaching perspective, that's become more and more, you know, my heart. Terry does a great job at it, that sort of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. So you've done two things. First of all, you've been desperate in the past. You've come to learn a way of developing leaders relationally, but you're also changing your metrics. So now your measurement of ministry success isn't rising and falling with Sundays. There's a whole nother metric by which you evaluate if this thing is working.
Amen.
I love that.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, there sure is. Yeah, and you know, our metric really, and it falls in line with that, is our vision statement, right? Whenever you develop a vision, you got to measure it. And our vision statement is just one more, transformed by Jesus, right? And the implication of just one more is huge, because it's not just about the one person that walks in the sanctuary, which it is, but it's also just one more funeral that can be used to transform, just one more cancer issue that is used to transform. And it starts to transform the way of everybody's thinking. But it's also now our metric, right? It's not about, you know, a building or a bunch of people. One person is always celebrated, and we make time to celebrate one person. And so that metric has changed. It's not a Sunday anymore. It's a person, and that's what it should have always been. That's what ministry is.
Yeah, that's great. So it's not buildings, butts, and budgets. It's people being developed in Christ. And I think of Paul in Colossians chapter 1, him we preach, speaking of Jesus, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man complete, teleos, mature, in Christ. So that's your metric, and that's great. You aim at that. If that's where our treasure is, our heart will be there also. So Jeff, I want to give you an opportunity now just to share directly into the hearts of senior pastors, leaders, whatever's on your heart related to this subject or any subject that's germane to pastoral ministry. 2 minutes, go.
Awesome. Thank you. First thing is that what you're experiencing, if you're discouraged, you're worn out, it is normal, right? You're not alone. There's a lot of us who have gone through it, and I'm glad I can say us. There's also a handful of us who have found a much better way to be able to do ministry. And it's an opportunity that you should embrace. Don't let arrogance, don't let time in the pulpit or any other prideful measure keep you from reaching out to someone who can actually help you grow in your capacity to lead. I guarantee your wife needs it and your church needs it. And more than you realize, you need it. If you can say, yes, I'm discouraged, then reach out to folks that are really willing to step in and be a helping hand. And you will find such great freedom and joy in ministry as you take the steps to really grow in your leadership. So I encourage that. There's a horizon that you can look at, and it's no longer this Sunday. That's for sure.
Okay, great word. So when is, do you have a date yet for the organizational leadership conference that's going to happen next year?
So we're going to be working that probably in February. We're trying to push it a little earlier, but we're going to nail that date down, and we'll give away to get that.
Okay. So there'll be more information later. Well, I want to thank you, Jeff, for sharing your resources with us, and River Rocks Church is the beneficiary, but so are other pastors as well. Can they contact you at your email address?
Absolutely. Email address is just simple, jeff@riverrockschurch.com. It's the best way to get a hold of me.
Okay, good. So we had mentioned a follow-up Zoom call to this podcast episode, and that is going to be on July 10th. And we are going to do that at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, 7 a.m. Pacific Time. There'll be a Zoom link. So what you need to do to be part of that Zoom call is email me at strongerpastors@gmail.com. Strongerpastors@gmail.com. Just let me know that you want to be part of the Zoom call with Jeff Birmingham on July 10th at 10 a.m. Eastern, 7 a.m. Pacific time. And we'll get you slotted into that and we'll send you the link. It's going to be an hour max. And so something to look forward to. And this is an opportunity just to ask questions of Pastor Jeff, and just to kind of get more of an idea of what this actually looks like practically in terms of rolling this thing out in your own life and ministry. So again, thanks, Jeff, for joining us, and thanks for that resource, and looking forward to the Zoom call. That's going to be fun to listen to all the questions that come in.
Yeah, it'll be great. And again, any resource that I have, anything I've put together, it's available, and I will send it out at request.
Okay. So. Jeff@riverrockschurch.com. Jeff@riverrockschurch.com. Thank you again, Jeff, for joining us. It's been wonderful.
Strength for Today's Pastor is sponsored by Pointman Ministries. You can find us at pointmanministries.com. That's spelled P-O-I-M-E-N ministries.com. If something in today's program prompts a question or comment, or if you have a topic idea for a future episode, just shoot us an email at strongerpastors@gmail.com. That's strongerpastors@gmail.com. May the Lord bless you as you serve Him, His pastors, and His church.